Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Indeed. It's the Independent Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mike. That's Red. That's Reg. Holy shit. Take 2 weeks off and I forgot which way to point. That's our new opening credits. We've been meaning to do it for a while. Finally got around to doing it. And perfect guest to do it for. Before we introduce them, it's been a couple weeks. Reg, how have you been, man? I missed you.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? It's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, media man in the building. Very excited to be back on Indeed. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, man, and it's just been, you know, regular stuff. Regular old life stuff. It was Mother's Day. I went to a New Japan show in Ontario. So, yeah, some fun stuff that's been going on. How about you, man?
Ontario, California. Yeah. The Ontario, California, the Ontario CA that I've been seeing on tour posters my entire life. And since I've been going to since I was old enough to go to concerts, I've been getting baited by Ontario, California.
Yeah.
For so many tours and shows that I've been
funny,
for.
Dude.
Fuck you, Ontario, California. I hate you.
I've been getting baited. It's so funny, dude. Every time you look at a post, you're like, oh, yeah, sick. We got the show. You're like, oh, no.
No, no, no.
Unfortunate. No. Yeah, and in Ontario's not a lot going on there. Like, it was just like the show's here, and it's just like an empty kind of space suburban type deal. So that's unfortunate for you.
Yeah, name it like Timmins, California, because like even then, if it was like in Timmins, Ontario, I'd still be like, I don't give a shit. I'm not going.
Timmins.
It's one of those like 10 hours away from anything that matters places in Ontario. It's silly. It's brutal. But anyway, we've got a couple amazing guests with us. We've got one of Canada's hottest tag teams. They've been stepping out into the US. They've been stepping across the pond to the UK. Mm-hmm. And now they're here on Indeed. We've got the hot stepper, McCray Martin. We've got the C4 wrestling champion, Junior Benito. Fresh air is in the building. Hello. Welcome. How are you both?
Doing good. Thank you for... Oh, sorry.
You do a thing.
Come on, you guys are a tag team. You got to coordinate this off rip.
We never have a plan. We just have a vibe.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like the vibe just we're getting there. We're sinking it. We're early in the interview. I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Junior.
Yeah, we feel it out. Just to add more information to that. We feel it out. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Very, very honored and privileged to be finally interviewed by Mike. So it's about time, and I'm looking forward to it. Nice to meet you as well, Mr. Righteous.
Yes.
Great meeting new people as well. I'm ready.
That's weird to hear, because I'm like oh shit, I get to interview Junior Benito and McCurry Martin today. Fuck yeah! So it's cool when it goes both ways. And big same to the vibing thing. I think that's a very good way to describe how any episode of Indeed has pretty much ever gone. Stretching
like, have we ever had like a real plan? Like, let's talk about these things. Like, nah, just start the show, man. We're gonna go for it.
I think next week, but like, we'll get there later. It's we've got this week to talk about right now. We've got McCurry Martin here. We got Junior Benito here. Look, we're going to do the same thing we do every podcast. We're going to like hit the origin story real quick. Mm-hmm. You can take us through in as little or as much detail as you want, you know, but how, long story short, how did you both end up at the Keep together? How'd you end up together in Fresh Air? Like, how did we get to this tag team we see in front of us?
So we both started at different schools. I started with IWS in Montreal. Ooh. And then Junior started with Body Slammers in here in Ottawa. I'll let him tell his story with that. But yeah, I was at IWS for a little bit. I didn't spend a whole lot of time there. I think I spent probably about 2 months there, just because it is a far drive. It's two hours each way. But yeah, I ended up having my first match with IWS because I did a speedball Mike Bailey camp. And even though I only had two training sessions, he gave me a mat. He gave me a spot on the card.
Oh, wow.
So I had a very like my training is so weird, where it's like, I didn't have a lot of training before I had my first match. But then after my first match is when I started going to the Keep, because the anniversary of the Keep opening was the anniversary of my first match. So it's kind of funny how like that coincided. But then I started going to the Keep like late 2018, and that's also where I met Junior, where we both kind of met at the Keep and just started training together, and a friendship formed.
Love at first sight is what you can say it was.
Yes,
truly platonic love, of course.
Of course. Or the other. It could be any kind of love. We don't discriminate here.
Look, if the car rides get lonely, you got to do your thing.
Why, McCray, why did you end up driving 2 hours? Did you not know about the spot in Ottawa, or was it not a spot when you were trying to get one?
It was like, I knew of Body Slammers. The thing for me was, I had heard mixed things. And just,
that's all you got to say. You know, it's pro wrestling.
Exactly. It's pro wrestling. Like, I just heard I heard mixed things. And I had gone connected with Shane Hawk, one half of Hawk Stepper, you know, C4 yeah, yeah. Tag Team Champions. Yeah.
Friend of the show.
And so I just, through them, I was like, you know what? I trust Shane Hawk. Like, I trust his opinion. A lot of great people have come out of the IWS dojo. So then that's kind of where I wanted to start my journey. And in fact, it took a lot for me to be like, hey guys, I'm really sorry, but like, I gotta go to the Keep because, you know, I can't be doing these drives, and like, it's very hard. I felt so bad. I have like, for me, like, loyalty is a big thing, so I felt bad leaving the school. Yeah. But then when I messaged them, they're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Like, yeah, go do your thing. Like, it's Evil Uno and Sue Grayson at the Keep. You're fine. Like, yep. Go do your thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How, yeah, that's why. How about you with I'm assuming like the mixed reviews that McCray heard, I'm sure might have, you know, had something to do with you landing at the Keep.
Yeah. I was only 16 at the time when I started training, so I didn't really hear about all this feedback from the school. So I just saw a wrestling school and I was like, I'm sold. Yeah. And I didn't know anything about paying ridiculous amounts of money to get into school, or reputations by certain promoters and stuff. Like, I didn't know nothing about that. But from my experience, it was all positive. The only review that I got from a wrestler about that school at the time was Daddy Magic, Matt Menard. I was at a show when I was 15, I think. And then he's like, he started noticing me coming around often. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing here? And I was just like, oh, I'm just here to volunteer for shows. And he's like, I told him I'm going to train soon. And he's like, whereabouts? With Wayne. And that's the trainer of the school, Crusher Klein. And then he's like, all right, good. And then that's it. Nothing else happened about the conversation. That's how it ended. So in my mind, I was like, all right, this is a good school. We're good. But then over here, stories and stuff. But yeah, that's where I started. I trained there for 6 months, once a week until November, until I had my first match with the other person I was training with. And then once he had his first match, he retired because he just did it for the experience. So I was technically the last guy graduated. And then I went to the Keep a few months later because my school shut down.
That's a wild story. That guy went for an experience. He's like, I'm just going to train just to see what it's like and then have one match and that's it.
Hey, he's living the best life, you know?
You know what? I respect that so much almost because it's just like all his whole goal was to just check off, have a professional wrestling match off of his bucket list. And that was like it, you know, did what he needed to do to accomplish it. It was like,
respect.
I'm fucking done. Let's go.
Yeah, I did it. Got to work Junior Benito. Wow, look at that.
Oh, shit.
Back then, that was a big deal. I was a no.
Wait. Who went over?
Who was it? Was a 10-minute draw.
Oh, and he went Broadway too. Wow, he could be like, yo, I went Broadway too.
Now, he gets to walk around and be like, I went to a 10-minute draw with the C4 champ.
Hey, with all due respect, it was like 5.5 minutes, if I'm being honest. If you were to time it,
the gimmick, the 10-minute draw.
Uh-huh. It's 5.5 minutes long. That's fake.
It's wrestling 10 minutes, like how I'm 7 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's fine. I didn't know actually about Daddy Magic and like what he told you about body slammers. I just find that funny because like most of my training was with Daddy Magic. It was like right before he went to WWE. So that's funny.
These things just connect. You guys don't know these stories or your past just kept connecting even before they connected.
Oh, it's crazy.
Ontario, no matter if you live in a big city in Ontario, like even if you live in a big city, you almost live in a small town. Like every city, everyone knows everybody within a certain region. So if you're in like a community, like, you know, wrestling or music or something, chances are like anyone in like a 4-hour radius of you, you got some, like the degrees of separation aren't far.
Definitely. No. That makes sense.
No. But especially like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
All right. So, but I was gonna say you're at the Keep now. So you've kind of, both training there as individuals, but also as a tag team. You possibly are in one of the most blessed situations, being that one of the best tag teams ever, Super Smash Brothers, Stu Grayson and Evil Uno, happen to be trainers and owners of the school. Since being there, how's been, learning under them individually, but also like as a team? I'd have to imagine having them as coaches as a tag team just really comes in handy.
See, it's a vibe. So it is definitely like you said, a blessing. It's funny because James Stone, another wrestler here who we're great friends with, reminds us almost daily of like how lucky we are. It's like back in his day, it's like, oh, we were learning on mats or like bumping on grass. Of like, that was our training. And like to have like a great facility, which like it's got a full gym. We got two of the best wrestlers in the world. And it's cool because not only have we been able to grow with them, and they've been able to mentor us, but we've also got to see them grow as teachers, because when we went to the Keep, it was like the Keep had just opened. So there wasn't even like a class yet. It was just kind of us going 2-3 times a week, just messing around and just, you know, getting some of the basics. And then they're like, all right, let's do some fun stuff. So it was kind of cool to now see where they are at now, where we're like now 6 classes deep and we've seen how their training style has evolved. But yeah, like they've been amazing to us. And like as a tag team, especially where they are so smart when it comes just to even the, like the little intricacies of a tag team match, whether it's like working towards the tag or tag team psychology or just following the rules. Cause like a lot of people don't follow the rules. And that's like some of the biggest feedback they get from TV is just they follow the rules. And like a lot of the vets notice this. So just having like that, their expertise to be able to just go to them with anything is very helpful to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. McCray pretty much pinned all the points. We've been coached by most guys who were coached the hard way. So in their minds, they told themselves, when we get the opportunity to train people, we'll do it better than how we were taught. So it's kind of this younger generation getting spoiled in a way. And I'm not complaining. I'm very, very thankful and grateful for the way we've been brought up, because it's only going to let us learn for the next generation to teach them a little better as well. So like, hopefully leads to even greater and greater professional wrestlers down the line. But yeah, we're definitely spoiled, to say the least.
I like that you you mentioned the like intricacies too, because something I'd noticed pretty much any time, but like especially seeing him on like indie shows like C4, you know, like from a nice close up, Uno is like so friggin' good at just being the not legal partner of the tag match and just standing on the apron and like reacting to his partner getting the shit beat out of him, or like you know kind of getting up on the other guy. It's really it's something that like I don't know if I've just watched too much wrestling and now I'm like picking out weird shit, but I really noticed it like when like you know he tagged with Myung Jae and like you know you got blasted with a chop and he just like got off the apron and walked away like you're on your own, you know, like that kind of shit. It's pretty
yeah. I remember seeing Super Smash Bros at a PWG show in Reseda and just seeing how they worked together and how smooth they were. And how, like you were saying, everything felt put together. It was like, oh, this is how like a real tag team works together. And when you see them locked up with the other amazing tag teams and how they do the little things and they just know where to be in position at all times, it's really different. How does it, we've heard your guys' name on our show a lot of times coming into this interview, which is funny because we've been wanting to have you guys on for a while. How does it to feel to kind of follow in their footsteps as a Canadian tag team, a top Canadian tag team, but as sought after in like America and other regions? Do you guys feel any pressure, or is it just kind of like, does it feel good? We'll start with you, Junior.
To be quite honest, it's very exciting. Just seeing the lineage of great tag teams from Canada, so to speak, that have been great in independent wrestling. The only two I can really think of off the top of my head are Kevin and Sammy and Uno and Stu. I think those are the only four that have actually gotten the worldwide popularity with the bigger companies, AEW and WWE. I think before that might have been Edge and Christian, but they weren't even a tag team really before that. They were still kind of single stars getting into the whole business. But all it really does is motivate me personally. I can't speak for McCray on his own, but me, it gets me very excited to see this new generation that we're seeing with all these younger stars. We're in this crop as well. And when they look at top tag teams in Canada, they can't not look at us as those guys coming up there, you know, because it takes consistency to start getting noticed. And we've been around, it's only been a year and a half round, but we've become one of those guys because we're just everywhere you can think of in Canada, almost everywhere. We're still missing some places, but we're getting there, but we're starting to get there more and more often. So it's very, very exciting and motivating.
Yeah. And it's definitely cool to be like you said, like a sought after tag team. For us, like breaking into the US market, just for any wrestler outside of the US is important, because that is where the main demographic is. And, you know, even though it's still a challenge, like we feel very fortunate, because it's literally just, it takes us 45 minutes to get to the border, and then we're in the States. And like Junior said, like consistency is key. Like we keep grinding, like we keep going to these US shows, because we also think it's like, it's necessary, right? It's like, to get to that next level, you got to break out of your territory. You got to break out to that next level. Right. And, you know, especially having trainers like Uno and Stu who flew themselves to California to do PWG, to like do these shows. Like we think like to honor them and to show that like we take this just as seriously as they did, we have to do those same things. And like for us, I mean, we have yet to fly out to the West Coast, but you know, flying ourselves out to the UK and trying to make a name for ourselves there, and you know, like we said, like going to the States all the time, like those are the things that I think set us apart from a lot of other tag teams or just a lot of wrestlers in general. Of like, we want to take that extra step to, you know, make a name for ourselves and for people to want to see us at that next level.
Hell yeah. Actually, you know, cause we'll kind of skip ahead here. I had a general idea here, but I think, we had Sean Henderson and Mike Roch here with us not too long ago. So we talked about some Sean Henderson presents and, we've had struggles here before. And it's every time I see you guys on an ETU graphic, I get really excited. Cause that's like a promotion that I like the way that they do wrestling anyway. So knowing that, like, you know, they definitely have a soft spot for you, and, you know, want to bring you down, then that just always makes me happy. But I think important to that too, is you mentioned like you're 45 minutes from the US border, which is crazy because that means you're like actually geographically closer to the United States of America than you are like the entire other half of Ontario, with like the Toronto scene all around here, my area. It's crazy because, you know, on Sunday, you guys are here, like in where I live, I'm going to be at Alpha One to see you guys wrestling Fight or Flight, which is, that's another tag team that people, you know, are like, in terms of like big tag teams in Canada, like, I feel like you guys are very much the like representation of the you know, Ottawa, Gatineau, Montreal area. And then it's like, yeah, Fight or Flight holding it down here, you know, here. And then, you know, got Ride or Die in like Edmonton, you've got, you know, Sinner Insane out west. It's just these like very, it's these pockets of just like tag teams, and the geographic space in Canada makes it so hard to ever get matches between them.
And also TDT, just got to add that team.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Oh God, please don't hurt me, TDT.
You're dead.
You're doomed.
Look, Thomas Dubois has been out for a minute, so like I've been seeing just a lot of Matthew St. Jacques and Ben Tull. So
lethal combo.
Honestly though, like Canada's got some good I would take any Canadian tag team that I just listed, plus, you know, TDT, which you guys, you know, thank you for reminding me and that I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. Come on.
But I'm not. I'm just really high. You know, if you take those five tag teams, I would put them up against any five independent tag teams in America any day. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to get all of them to come up here to have the tag team cup because their border is fucking stupid.
Yeah, personally, when it comes to the whole border situation, I know that one day, it may not be in the next 10, 20, 50 years, but I know that one day we won't have to worry about this anymore. It's like the ultimate dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that Canadians can go to the border and get actual work without having to worry about, you know, should I be doing this? Can I be doing this? Because, man, there's too much we're missing out on, man. Too much they're missing out on. I'm telling you, these big companies, they're going to find out.
Well, that was kind of the thing for us. Like, I thought at one point with Impact being owned by Anthem, like, and them being Canadian-based, I still think, like, that's a potential for them to tap into the Canadian market and getting more eyes on Canadian talent. Like, you see like your Josh Alexander, you see Mike Bailey, and like the success that they've been able to garner, and Eric Young too, like garner in TNA. I forgot their TNA again, that's right. So it's just like, it's clear that like when you give Canadians the platform and the opportunity, like we will show out, like we will step up and succeed. And so, and what's cool is like you see the success in like AEW, WWE, TNA, like of, and even New Japan with El Phantasmo, like the Canadian talent, like it is possible. And so if you just shine that light on the Great White North, there are some amazing talents up here.
I'm not tooting the horn saying that we're all amazing. Of course some of us suck.
It's wrestling.
It's wrestling. We
name the names.
Name names.
You won't.
You won't.
everything's got everything, you know what I'm saying? So
totally.
Yeah. Also, shout out ELP, card-carrying member of the Cult of El Fantasma.
Yes.
Oh.
He was at the New Japan show. Super talented. Seeing very talented wrestlers that up close is always so amazing. You guys have talked about kind of coming into wrestling school together and developing together. How is it trying to do the singles, develop as a singles wrestler while at the same time developing at the as a tag team wrestler, since you guys are kind of at the same journey in wrestling?
I think, well, for us, the tag team, we didn't really start tagging in Canada until, or sorry, not just in Canada, in general, until like 2022. I want to say, and even then,
it you said a year and a half. I was going to be like, that's not that long.
No, it's pretty sparse. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a few times where we had tagged, but it was more so we were doing it because we would just hop in cars and go to shows to like try and get on. So like,
gotcha.
If there was a, if, and we'd say like, yo, you can put us in singles, you can put us in a tag, like we'll do either. And so it'd be mostly on like pre-shows where they have some spots, and then we'd start tagging, and then. It was after the pandemic, and I don't really know how it came about. I know that like we had talked about becoming a tag team, more so me, because I just like the name Fresh Air, which Junior did not like. Junior did not like the name at first.
Junior,
you ain't gotta throw me under the bus like that. But all right, man. All right, I see how it is.
It's part of the story.
It should be.
But then there was a couple places who were booking us as a tag team just because they needed more tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for us, what kind of was the catalyst of like us tagging regularly was we did like a C4 tag team tournament in late 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it to the finals where we wrestled two tag teams that stood out, at least like in the Northeast American scene was, the main event, Midas Black and Jay Lyon, as well as MSP, who you know had a very heartbreaking match.
How fortunate!
Yeah, mm-hmm. I watched that their last match, and that hurt. Mm-hmm. Danger Kid and Abe Negro, and so us kind of being able to like be toe to toe with them was like okay, like you know, I think this tag team thing could really work. We go back, like it's funny. I go back and watch those matches. I'm like, man, we sucked. Like, no chemistry whatsoever. No gear matching. No nothing. Mm-hmm. But then we started. We got like the Run DMC look after a Demand Lucha show in Toronto, where they wanted us. Like, the promoter called me. He was like, oh, we want you guys, like, you guys need a gimmick. You know, like, McCray, you have a gimmick. You're, like, that dancing kid. But, like, Junior doesn't really have a gimmick.
You guys need a gimmick. He claps cheeks. He's the big boy.
This guy's just throwing everything at the wall.
Hey,
hey,
this was not me saying this. This was this
part
was
of the story.
The promoter. This is the promoter.
Whatever.
So then he tells me, he's like, yeah, like I want you guys to come with track suits, these bucket hats, chains, and I just listen to you like, so you want us to come out as Run DMC? Yes, we want to come out as Run DMC.
You know what?
It classic works, promoter.
Classic it works promoter. So good.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, bet. So then we did it and we had so much fun with it that like we just decided to like make that our look. Mm-hmm. And then once we did that, and then that's when, like, okay, things are starting to click now. Like, we're starting to feel the chemistry. Like, we have a few more tag matches under our belt. And now, like, a lot of the things that we do in the ring, we just kind of feel out. Like, they're just, like, different moments or, like, the tag team synergy. Like, it just comes naturally now.
I think it's really funny that you mentioned the Terry Ann Gibson Memorial Tournament from 2022. Because that, Reg and I reviewed that show.
Mm-hmm.
Way back then. But also, fun fact, talking about you guys being singles wrestlers and not like tagging, the very, very, very first episode of Indeed was me on my own reviewing independent wrestling shows that I liked. Mm-hmm. And the very first show that I did like a featured episode on was C4 Time and Tide. You, McCray wrestled James Stone and Junior wrestled Anthony Green.
Mm.
And
that's
when we say that you guys you mentioning the tournament just made me think of all this. But when we, you know, like when Reg was saying earlier that we've actually been talking about you guys on the show
for so long,
literally the first episode of the show, two people we talked about were, or I talked about, it wasn't even a week yet for you guys. So it's, you know, it great seeing that, you know, kind of how full circle everything is with wrestling, how also you guys are here now. But then speaking of C4, also about 2 years ago, you guys both individually sent me congratulatory messages for Mark for their 15th anniversary for video messages for him. And that was like a whole 2 years ago now.
Time, dude.
That was their 15th anniversary. It's going to be 17 years of C4 in this fall. Junior is the champion there. McCray, you're a fixture of the roster. You're having like huge matches there. Fresh Air is dominant as a tag team. You guys just teamed up with Gringo Loco. And you're both so passionate about C4 even then, but what's it like to be like such beloved and highly regarded members of the C4 community and roster now?
It's definitely cool to see, because I speak for myself. I've been going to the shows as a fan and as a volunteer, just helping out with the show since I was 15. Mm. So getting to see the ins and outs of how the shows are run, and then not to say that I'm a part of the shows and an integral part, let's say, it's very cool. And it's a bit of a full circle moment seeing all of this happen. And I've gained the trust of the people who run the show. So that's been really cool for me personally.
How old are you, Junior, so we can have some perspective on when you say your age? Because people could be like, I don't know, they don't know how old you are.
He's actually 34.
Right, exactly.
I'd throw myself out my window if I found out that you're that close to my age.
No. I'm actually 22.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's crazy, though, because like also, so, you know, that's essentially like 3 years of just go, or you know, 2 or 3 years of just going as a fan, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all happened kind of. I volunteered and then I started training, and then during that time it was still kind of happening. And then once I actually became a wrestler, it was climbing towards the ladder of hopefully getting booked on that show. And then once it happened, it all kind of went uphill from there. Mm-hmm.
I've got to see you guys both wrestle there fortunately. That was a crazy show too, because you wrestled Titus Alexander and McCray wrestled Josh Alexander. You guys wrestled the two premier Alexanders in wrestling. I was wondering then, McCray, are you gonna, since Junior's got the title, the C4 title, are you gonna maybe like chase the Underground title for yourself? You guys gonna try to get the tag titles? You thinking a little friendly competition for the C4 title?
Hey man, whatever happens. I almost won the last show. I almost won the number one contendership, and then good old Twiggy and his little cheating ass, took advantage of me. But no, I mean, it's actually my favorite was Junior won the belt and like 3 seconds later, everyone looked at me. He's like, "Guess you're turning heel." And I was like, "What?"
That's how it goes. Babyface champions can't have friends. That's not how this works.
No, it's clearly not. It's not like we've tagged like 3 times since he's won the title at C4. that was funny though. It was like, what? No, I'm not gonna turn away, because like we talked about it the next day. And then Junior just was like, "Man, that sucks." Verbatim. And I was like, yeah. So like it has been talked about, but I'm like, you know what? Like if I wrestle Junior if we wrestle for the championship, I want it to be like friendly competition. We have a good match. Especially because with Fresh Air being on the rise and with C4 being like a part of like the indie universe of like IWTV, and it's got this global recognition, it just like it doesn't feel right to just like mess with that multiverse of promotions.
Right, with exactly. Interlink. Do you break up and all the other promotions too, or just C4, you know?
Yeah, it exactly.
It is interesting how like the advent of streaming has kind of like, even if whether the promoters want it to be or not, like there is kind of like this weird accessible, like broad multiverse of independent wrestling out there.
Yeah, it's and that, which is pretty cool when you think about it. It's like our own MCU of like everything kind of interlinks, and then you're able to tell cool stories of like, you know, where, for example, like ETU and Beyond Wrestling. I'll give that as an example where we wrestled Miracle Generation, where you know we wrestled them at Beyond because of our match at ETU. And, you know, we were able to kind of tell that story of like fight of like trying to get the IWTV tag team titles. So it's like one of those things where like everything can be interlinked, where if you're a wrestling promotion outside of IWTV, well, like we have a little bit more fun. Like there we like, you know, like for example, there's one place where Junior and I don't even tag. He tags with a guy named Johnny Taco for Remix Wrestling, and they go by Clap Dem Tacos, which is awesome. I'm like, you do that tag team. That sounds
that's a wild tag name.
Yeah. I thought Clap Dem Cheeks was already a questionable one. That's like pushing the boundaries, but Clap Dem Tacos
is wild. Is,
there's always a line we can cross. That's all I gotta say. There's always a line.
That's one of the most insane tag team names I've ever heard.
I got a tag team pitch for you, but I gotta pitch it off air because I got to.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe email that one to him.
Yeah. No, I'm not letting a text record of that exist. You can't prove I said it, Reg.
I'll bring it right back to your ass.
There we go. Want to take a little bit and acknowledge a couple chats. Don't worry, guys. I've been harassing my home promotion of Prestige here in Oregon to book you.
Yeah, y'all need to be in Prestige.
Oh, my sure. God. Please, Prestige Wrestling. Oh, can you?
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
Not only would I love to see you guys wrestle like the Midnight Heat or C4, the tag team, not the promotion, but like, getting the inter-Canadian matchup of C4 and Sinner and Saint in a U.S. promotion that very heavily uses Sinner and Saint, by the way, like that's they're essentially Oregon, like as a second home to them at this point. So kind of like how New England is, you know, New England and Jersey kind of is turning into that way for you guys.
This is a hell of a pitch right here, Mike. I think you need to send this to Will. Like the two Canadian tag teams and Prestige. Like that's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone clip that for me, please. and then also speaking of promotions that are. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Clip it.
Come on. We got. Surely someone who's watching this live can like clip it, like, and tweet it now.
You do it right now.
Is Will watching this right now?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it'd be cool if he was.
Yeah.
I love Prestige Wrestling a lot.
Prestige Wrestling does rock. They got a show coming up. Is it this weekend?
Maybe.
Keep talking. I'm going to plug them real quick.
Yeah.
Here we go. Speaking of promotions outside of the IWTV verse, though, so excited for Alpha 1 debut. And while we're talking about promotions outside of the IWTV verse, it's funny because, you know, everything in wrestling always ties back to, like, the people in your area. But Uno has this, and it also ties back to your rivalry with Miracle Generation because you literally have wrestled them in this promotion as well. But Mystery Wrestling.
Yeah.
You've wrestled Miracle Generation there, but also like it's the shenanigans center of the universe for pro wrestling. How's it been being there and seeing like just everything come to life?
It's I just have one thing to say about Mystery Wrestling. It's only getting bigger and bigger, and the only thing I can compare it to is early 2010s PWG. That's really it. That's all I can say. It's beautiful to be a part of it.
If every show was Mystery Vortex is basically a PWG. But yeah, no, Mystery Wrestling, like, so I think I'll speak for myself, but like I think being Uno students and like just, you know, being around Uno all the time, like we have a different perspective on Mishi wrestling for us. Whereas like Mishi wrestling actually started like way before the pandemic, in early 2019 or maybe even 2018 was the first one, where it was like student shows, where it was, you had like just like the local guys,
right?
Giving like, you usually have like vets versus rookies and like just for a way for students to get more reps. And then there was one time, my third ever match, I wrestled Josh Alexander, was at a Mishi wrestling, and for the C4 title, which is still like mind blowing to say, was at a Mishi wrestling. But then, you know, then we moved to a different school, and like, so we would have them in our school, but then we moved to a different building, so we didn't have the capacity to hold people. But legit, for years, we have been talking about bringing back Mishi wrestling, or Uno's talked about bringing back Mishi wrestling. Cecil Nix has been part of the conversation. James Stone's been part of the conversation, of just like creating this promotion. And the idea was to kind of also give a spotlight on Canadians, because Uno knew he had that power with his Twitch platform. But what I love is that it's just growing into like everything, right? Where it's like, you know, not only do we get these awesome surprises, you get these crazy gimmick matches of like falls count anywhere except in the ring. You have pillow fights. You have extremely ruled Iron Man matches. You have blindfold. You have like all these different things that just come out of his super creative mind.
Even just the mystery four-way with like the druid cloaks.
Dude, it's that is cool. I think still my favorite one, because of how, not just of how absurd it was, but probably how much money went into it, was, I think it was Mishi Wrestling 5, where it was Ortiz, Trent Seven, Mathieu Saint-Jacques, and Mike Bailey.
Mike Bailey had shoes on in his druid robe, so people wouldn't be like, oh, barefoot with kick pads and speedball and get it before the cloak came off. Beautiful.
It's Marina Shafir.
Oh, true. Yeah, you get well, like three choices.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Now, mystery. It's beautiful, and like the fact that it's also the Patreon, and like the growth of the Patreon actually just increases what. Like it all just, it gets invested back into the show. So the fact that as the Patreon grows and the audience grows, then the budget grows and the possibilities grow, it really is endless. And you mentioned a name. I want to hear from both of you. Please speak on the brilliance of Cecil Nix for the world that doesn't know who Cecil fucking Nix is.
Mm-hmm.
Cecil Nix. he's just Cecil Nix, man. He's just like that. That's all I can really say. He's that freaking cool. He's the man.
He's the Sean Bean of professional wrestling. He says his Twitter bio. No, I think in all seriousness, Cecil Nix as a wrestler, as a performer, is very underrated. Not just from his abilities in the ring, but just from his mind. And it's been really cool to see he's been able to express that through Mishi Wrestling. Because here's the thing with Cecil Nix is like, you can't have a bad match with him. Like he's so good. And I think people always like, you know, judge a book by its cover, as is with wrestling, it's very cosmetic. So you see Cecil Nix and you think, oh, it's just Cecil Nix. But then you can speak to this, Mike, being at a C4 show and hearing that crowd lose their mind for Cecil Nix.
I was at the show where he lost the C4 title match.
Yeah.
I thought people were gonna like fucking riot at that show.
Dude, it's absolutely insane. But yeah, he is a genius. Like, absolutely is a genius. And you know, like all these ideas you see of like the inflatable tube death match and the blindfold match, the pillow fight, the extremely ruled Iron Man match, like that's all like, it's a combination of him and Uno like brainstorming ideas, but a lot of it is from Cecil, and just like where like his the possibilities are endless with his mind. And it's really cool that people are recognizing him now for like how good he is.
Like that one clip, the one clip alone of him throwing himself through the door, I think is like one of the most viral wrestling clips that's happened in a hot minute. Like certainly has escaped. That one certainly escaped the wrestling audience with how big it got. So
he's definitely one of those guys that should get his due one day. And I'm glad, I'm privileged to say that now it's creeping. He's getting his time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm every time I hear like, you know, someone tweet like, oh, I've got it. Cecil's got an idea for the next show. Don't worry. It's like, what's it going to be though? Like the hardest I've ever laughed in my life watching wrestling is mostly mystery wrestling lately. And it's like every time Cecil's involved in the match and it's like some weird stipulation shit, I'm like crumpled over with tears streaming down my face laughing. It hurts,
man. You should have, you, I don't know if you guys had, I think you, I don't know if Reg, if you saw the last mystery wrestling show that happened this past weekend. Just, I know
I you haven't did, seen but it yet.
Like, but it's just like, because it's we were all like, we all as a group were like, there's no way he can top that last match of like Eddie, like doing the Eddie Guerrero through the door. But then to him go for it again and just bounce off the door, like we were losing our mind backstage. But it's like, so that's what's great too, is like he keeps upping it and making more to take. And then, you know, you have the narrative through line of London Lightning coming out dressed as a teddy bear and costing him the match. It's just like, it's just those things where it's like, now that he's created this like cult following of the Cecil Nicks match, like the stories he's able to tell now is amazing. But yeah, like all of us backstage were like crumpled over laughing hysterically, like hitting the table, everything. Like we were all losing our minds. It was hilarious to watch.
Also, the continuity of the ref coming to get his $5 back from the ref who stole $5 from him the show before.
That's storytelling right there.
That's the long-term storytelling I'm looking for in my professional wrestling in 2024.
Totally. Yeah, I think the thing that I kind of like about it the best is, and what we're kind of describing here, is the territories thing feels like it's being a little bit more prominent. Like, I understand you guys wanting to, like, branch out and expand into America, into different markets, but seeing you guys just cook in Canada in different spaces and in different elements is also really awesome, just because the scene, Mike continuously tells me how great it is. People come on this show all the time talking about how great it is. So to see you guys in different formats, especially one like that, is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh, thank you.
And I think that with the expansion of those things, does it feel a little bit a relief that you get to be seen all over the world in these formats like IWTV and, you know, Twitch streams that you don't have to necessarily get over here as soon as you would, because there's going to be eyes on you before. Because like before I had even heard of you guys as a tag team, I was doing this list and people were like, have you heard of Junior Benito? Like an insane amount of people were like, Junior Benito. And I was like, dude, who is Junior Benito? Why does everybody keep telling me about
it? I was one of those people.
You were definitely one of those people. And I was like, I have to see this person. I saw this person. I was like, oh, I get it. I see it. So you guys were like on the, it's a way for everybody to kind of get on the radar before they get there. Do you feel that Canada specifically has too many regions that people are trying to focus on? This is kind of a question I think for everybody. Does Canada have too many regions that are trying to be focused on because some people don't want to work together?
Ooh. That's an interesting question.
I will get myself in trouble.
Because there's a bunch of, we've talked about C4, Alpha One, Love Wrestling. There's all these great places, but if everybody worked together, wouldn't the scene be a little bit fresher? Error,
pun intended.
Hey.
or am I just throwing stuff at the wall here?
No, here's the biggest thing. I think it really comes down to there's a couple places in particular. I'd say like maybe like the Toronto GTA, and maybe a little bit so Quebec, where there's a little bit of infighting and like they get a bit territorial as far as like having the monopoly on the wrestling scene. I think that everywhere else, though, it's just that like Canada is just so widespread, right? Yeah. With like, and like the ratio of wrestling and wrestlers to the landmass of Canada is just is ginormous. Where it's like, you could, whilst if you go to like, if you go to a New Jersey, New York, a Massachusetts, right, you could probably name a bunch, like 10 promotions easily of like big name promotions that like have recognition. Whereas in Canada, you'd probably get like one or two per like per province, really. Of or maybe a bit more for Ontario and Quebec, but for everywhere else, like there's not a lot of places that you consistently hear of. And I think again, it just comes down to like the landmass of Canada. And it's also, I think the other thing too is we were talking about earlier with Junior's opponent for his first match, where he's like, he just wanted to have the first, his first match. And like, that was it. I think you also have a lot of wrestlers who have different goals in wrestling. Whereas for Junior and myself, we are very focused on, we're very focused on getting to that next level. We're very focused on, we don't want to stay in our comfort zone. We want to be pushed to that next level and one day be signed to a company. While you have people who are on the other side of the spectrum who are just like, you know what, I'm cool with wrestling like three, maybe four times a month at my local promotion, and just like doing this on the weekend. So I think that's the other factor too, of like, there's people who are very happy where they are and they're satisfied in that comfort zone. And you have the select few who are like us trying to, you know, wherever my beat up 95 Corolla will take us, we will go.
That's cool. I think that says something about Canada too. And Mike, I think we need to have somebody on the show that's not hungry to excel to the next level. What if we just had like a wrestler that's like, I just like to stay here in my local promotion where 30 people come to the show and that's it. We always have these hungry wrestlers who want to make it, make win championships and go to the top. What if we just have some guy that's like, man, I'm just here to do my thing, take a couple bumps. Now, I think that's honestly really cool about Canada and says a lot that there's just people that are like, I just want to wrestle because it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like,
that's different nowadays. People don't wrestle because it's fun, which is crazy.
I think that I think that does exist in every scene. It's just like because population by the numbers, like we have less wrestling promotions in Canada, less wrestling schools in Canada, less less civilians in general living in Canada. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we're gonna have less people interested in wanting to, you know, we barely really have high school like amateur wrestling in a lot of schools here. Like I've never heard of it in my fucking life at any school I went to.
I guess so. I just interact with so many wrestlers that are like, this is the end of the world. If I don't make it, I'll die. And it's like, I love it a lot of the time, but sometimes I'm like, it'll be all right if you don't make it though too. Yeah. I want to just like interact with some people that it's not life or death. I love that it's life or death, but it seems like here in America, everybody's like, I got to be the WWE champion and make it to WrestleMania. And it's like, dude, what?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot sometimes.
I'm sleeping in my car.
Yes, exactly.
I sold my dog.
Yeah. And it's like, I respect it, but like, does it, every single story doesn't have to be like that. And it feels like every story is like that.
Well,
go ahead.
I think, yeah, I mean, well, I think the other thing too is like back in the, and again, this kind of ties into why we feel it's a must to like do these drives to the States and like get known in the States, is because like back in the time of Uno and Stu, they didn't have the internet. You know, they were sending tapes. They were like just driving to these shows, cold calling, like that type of thing. You'd have to use an actual paper map to figure out where, what show you're going to, or print off MapQuest, you know, things like that, where it's like, where it's like for our generation now, it's like with the internet, it's so much easier to like get your name out there, get noticed, where it's like, look, think of like how many wrestlers have been booked because of one GIF on Twitter that like just blew up, right? Or like, for example, like the Cecil Nix thing, where like Cecil Nix been wrestling for 12, 13 years, been killing it in Ontario, and even in the States as well. but all of a sudden he throws himself through a door, and now millions of people have seen it, yeah. Right? So I think the stories are a bit different now, where it's like, we don't have to go to that same level. If people mm-hmm. want to, like, if people feel like that's the what they need to do to, like, you know, put all their eggs in one basket, that's great. But you know, I personally feel like I have like 99 of my eggs in the basket of wrestling, and I have one egg that's like, well, maybe 90 eggs and 10 yeah. eggs of like, I have my shoot job, which is in film, which I love. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I have my friends, I have my family, like I have other things that if tomorrow I have to retire, I am very happy with what I've been able to do and able to accomplish, and still be very satisfied with like the rest of my life, you know? And I think that's like, I get nervous for those people who like it's ride or die, mm-hmm. because if they don't have wrestling, like, what where do you go from there? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Find those non-hungry wrestlers.
Yeah, we need to get those non-hungry wrestlers out here.
Yeah.
Excited about their $40 and a handshake. Sorry, guys. It's just a joke. I know.
It's a joke.
It's just a joke. It's not real.
$40 hot dog. You're fucking crazy, Reg.
Yeah. I live in California, Mike.
$20.
Yeah. I don't know. Inflation's crazy.
I live in California. You'd be surprised.
Well, hey, if it's $40 in California, then by the power of economics, it's like $800 in Canada. The currency conversion to the Canadian dollar, bro.
That's why we do it.
Speaking of Love Wrestling promotions across Canada, hey homies.
Oh,
Spencer Love. Has Fresh Air ever been to Edmonton to Love Wrestling?
We have not.
Yeah, Spencer, you gotta fix that.
Not yet.
Yeah, you gotta fix that, yet. Spencer.
Hi, Spencer. Big fan.
Another promotion you guys are debuting at, though, and we'll talk about this before you guys can let us know what other upcoming dates you got. My hometown here, Alpha One Wrestling, Hamilton, Ontario. I finally get to see you guys wrestle as a tag team.
Let's go.
Coming back to Miracle Generation, funnily enough, you're actually replacing their spot in this match. They couldn't. They were unable to make this show, so they've been replaced with Fresh Air. You guys are taking on Fight or Flight for the Alpha One tag titles. You know, Fight or Flight, they really are that, like, you know, the this part of Ontario, you know, the big tag team. So, you know, talk about that matchup. And also working for Alpha One for the first time, because that's a promotion that also, yeah, like, it's a big deal out here. You'll find out on Sunday when you're here, but like, it's the closest I felt to being at a C4 show since I was at C4. So you guys will get to experience it on Sunday when you're here, but you know, yeah, give me your thoughts on Sunday before looking ahead at it.
I think it's funny because oddly enough, this is not the first time we've replaced Miracle Gen for a tag team bookings. We've done it a few times against, I believe, Los Macisos. And I believe another time against another tag team. McCray, if you could correct me on the second one. No?
No. The other tag team we replaced in the States was SAT.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. But yes, overall, although we are not complaining, we're more than happy to wrestle for such a wonderful promotion. We've heard nothing but great things about Alpha One. And to walk in there for the first time and win their tag team titles, like, wow, you know, what a way to walk in, make a first impression, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Look, like, fight or flight are nobody's favorite around here. So I'm sure if you guys came in and took those belts off them, you would, you'd quickly find yourselves being some adopted sons of the 905.
Perfect timing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with all due respect, I love Fight or Flight. They're cool. They look so dang cool. I love them personally, but you know, they got something that looks pretty nice around their shoulder, and I want that personally just because I'm a fan of gold and silver and leather.
And red.
And red, yeah.
Big fan of red.
Or big fan of red. Red straps, you know.
Red. Texas. I don't know why I have to say Texas.
Texas. Cracker Barrel?
Oh no, that's a different story.
No. The side note, we love Cracker Barrel. Just putting it out there.
Never tried it.
But yeah, no, it's you should try it sometime. Just saying. But no, it's very cool. Fight or Flight is a tag team that we've also looked up to, because when we started, they were kind of like the hottest tag team. Like them and TDT were like the hottest tag teams around when we started. And, you know, it's been a dream match for a long time since like Fresh Air started getting steam. Like this is a match they wanted for a long time. And so to finally have it straight up tag us versus them, I think it's very exciting. And you know, we have some pretty storied history, mostly with Fuerza. You know, we've done a couple of Europe trips with him. You know, we've shared some stories, shared some laughs. He's bullied Junior a few times. And I think it's time for some payback.
Say this is the bus, right? And this is me. You throw me right under there again. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. But we're close with them. Personally, I've been to Europe with both of them on separate occasions as well. So we've known each other for a while. So it's definitely a long time coming.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking for.
I was going to say, I don't know how that was throwing you under the bus. I was just like,
you're saying I'm getting bullied by the boys. Come on, dude. The heck? The bus.
That's what it is.
Mike full select scoop. Gabe Fuerza, locker room bully.
Damn, Junior. I didn't know it was like that. People are going to be like, are you okay, Junior?
I'm going to get messages like, if you need someone to talk to.
You know,
you're getting messages. You're getting messages from Vertigo like, yeah, Gabriel bullies me too, man.
Fuerza is like, it's like, this is lies. It's an indictment on his reputation.
Fuerza messages me saying, hey, man, if you talk about me one more time, I'm going to kill you next
time.
Okay. Fight or Flight, look, doors open. Come on the show. Defend yourselves.
Yes.
We'll throw fists.
This is look. How you build anticipation for a match. He's a bully.
There we go. Yeah, this is our promo right here. Clip it. Yeah. Post it. Fight or Flight, Fight or freaking Flight, we're coming for you. We're coming for your belts.
Yeah, Booker T style.
I got chills.
Yeah. There we go.
You know the story. You know the story. Sorry. We got carried away there.
It's a little too much.
It's all right. Look, we know where you're going to be on Sunday. Where else, either individually or as a team, can people see the two of you coming up? Yeah.
Alpha One on Sunday is one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We actually, going out of the IWTV multiverse, Junior and I are actually wrestling each other this Saturday. Ooh. At Acclaim Pro Wrestling for the number one contendership. We had a little bit of a scuffle, you know. He hit me with the belt by accident, you know. So
accident?
We got we haven't really talked about it. We've been kind of just pushing it
under the bus. Is where you've been pushing it.
Gosh, man.
This whole interview, I'm just like, how can I split up Fresh Air? It's just
like to the end of it to like, this is it.
It's
this
like
is my last opportunity. Just,
you know what? I was like, you know what? Okay, once. You know, once we get on Indeed, you know, that's it. We're done. We hit our peak.
Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty, number two, eh? God.
Damn.
Yeah. Who's who? I think. Who's. Going.
So you guys are going to fight on Saturday.
We're going to fight on Saturday, but you know what? I have faith that, you know, it won't impact us for Sunday. I think we'll shake hands. We'll all be good, because we got, I think, the 24th. We're also tagging at C4. It's us and Alexi and Nicole, a trio you never knew you needed. And then we have another show the Saturday. We have a lot of tag bookings this year, this month actually. You talked about Sean Henderson Presents earlier. Sean Henderson, May 30th, his birthday bash. We're going up against the Ugly Duck. Is it Ugly Ducklings?
Ugly Sucklings.
Oh, ugly Sucklings.
White. Yeah. Oh man, I can't. Look, I can't wait. You guys versus White Mike and Rob Killjoy is going to be fucking amazing. Be really
I'm super pumped for
we,
it.
Our old home for Indeed was bodyslam.net, and Cassidy Haynes, their owner, White Mike, is, you know, good friend of his, you know, so there he's traveling with him all the time. And I've like osmosised so much love and adoration for that team, just through Cassidy. So that's an exciting matchup. That's really rad. That's good shit, Sean Henderson.
Yeah.
That's all of it.
That's a good May. What about June? Nothing in June? Nothing announced?
Not yet.
I don't think there's anything. I think there's one show announced at the end of June. It's Promotions JR, which I think is a new promotion in Montreal that we're going to be tagging at. So a debut there, you know, again, hitting all those Canadian territories, you know, keeping it up.
Promotions Jim Ross. Jim Ross is about to kill it. That's going to be sick.
Jim Ross promotion.
Jim Ross promotion. In Montreal, Canada, of all places.
You know what? Jim Ross seems like he would be into some Montreal women.
That's all I'll say. Hey. That Sooner boy is heading on up right north.
He's got Grillin' JR the podcast. He's got Promotions JR the wrestling show.
Yep. See, look.
There you go.
There you go.
But yeah, I think that's as far as announce goes. That's where we're at. That's where
awesome.
Bet. And how about on the social media machines? You know, it's so important. Where can people find you at?
Oh yes, I'm Junior_Benito, and the O at the end is a zero. I'm just gonna look at my Instagram, make sure that is correct. Yeah, that's me. I'm not the greatest of social media. I don't want to lie to you. I was gonna say I'm great, but come on, let's be real here. I'm working on it, but the more the merrier. That's all I know. It's getting better.
Yeah. And then you can follow me on every platform. It's at the Hot Stepper PW. You can also follow us as a tag team. We have our own social media handle at Fresh Air JBMM for Junior Benito and McCray Martin. I know.
In case crazy.
In case you didn't know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But yeah, and you know, check out our pro wrestling tee stores, Junior Benito, McCray Martin. You know, please buy our merch because we're not allowed to bring it to the States when we go. So and more support will help there.
Yeah. They got a shirt that looks like this, but it says Fresh Air and it's got silhouettes of them on the side of it.
Yeah.
It's so sick, dude.
You can tell how original we are.
It's the fucking Run DMC logo. It's like everybody that's got any kind of like two word name has probably at least thought of
tried it. Yeah.
They've at least thought of doing it.
Oh, that's crazy, McCray. Every time we tell somebody to plug their stuff, no one ever says buy merch. And it's like, you're wrestlers. No, why wouldn't no one ever is like, hey, buy our merch. It's crazy.
Please buy our merch. Yeah. I want a PS5. Please buy our merch.
Dude, buy everyone's merch. And so you like blew my mind. I was like, dude, no one ever says this.
No, we really, it's usually me saying go buy people's merch at the end of the show. But I don't think a guest has mentioned it in a minute. So
it's crazy.
There we go. Because they aren't on the same grind. You know, they're happy with their local promotions. They're not hungry wrestlers.
That's what we need to have on here. Let's go, baby.
Full circle. Oh my god.
You need somebody who's like, you know what? If you don't have to buy my merch, it's fine. Don't buy. You know,
Have merch.
I don't.
No, I have merch, but I don't want you to buy it. Fuck money. Oh my god! Thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out. Amazing time hanging out with you. Can't wait to do it again. Reg, before we head out, where can everyone find you at? What do you got coming up?
Tonight I got the AEW Dynamite post show with Denise, and then I got Grapsity this Saturday. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
It's kind of it. Because this Saturday we're filming a bonus episode of Indeed. You're gonna find out You're gonna find out about when
these dots are gonna be connected like really fast, dude.
Look, it's a bonus episode, and you know, we've definitely talked about him a number of times today.
Mystery. Keep it a mystery, though.
It's a mystery, though. Yeah, you'll find out. You'll find out next week. Keep it a mystery. Also, next week we are going to be back here for a live episode. We do have two guests in the studio. They're not a tag team. They're so fucking far from a tag team. They're actually going to be competing against each other for the Wrestlers Lab Championship next weekend at Wrestlers Lab. Oh my glob! But before they do that, they're going to drop by here to have some words with each other. So we'll have Eel O'Neill and Darian Bengston coming to hang out with us next week.
Two of my homies.
Yeah, two of your homies. I don't think they like each other very much, though.
Yeah,
so
no.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, hopefully we get an hour worth of conversation out of them, and we don't have to shut the show off for
Hopefully, we have to shut it off because they're just yelling at each other. It'll be great.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. So until then, you got some shit to look forward to. Go to some independent wrestling shows, buy some merch. See you next week. Love you. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.